This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Jason Mackey's First 10, a quick hit podcast to get you ready for the day. It's Friday, so that means your questions, one of my favorite, well, probably my favorite episode of the week. First, I want to remind you that we're sponsored by the North Shore Tavern. You don't have to be a baseball fan to love it there. The interior is wall-to-wall pirates. There are appetizers, entrees, cocktails, and, of course, steak and seafood on a sizzling lava stone. Open every day across from PNC Park. North Shore Tavern is Pittsburgh's home for steak on a stone. So without any delay, let's get right into it. Obviously, not Tomlin asks a good question. I'm not sure I know the answer to it. How do sales of the Renegade Dog compare to previous feature foods? I'm going to use this just to talk about the Renegade Dog and the fact that I have not tried it, and that's embarrassing, and I will promise to rectify that this coming homestand. Max Pinnell, if the Pirates do not eclipse 500, do you think Charrington's seat will be hot? No, I don't. I know that's sort of what people want or change or whatever. One, I think they'll be over 500, but two, I think with Charrington, I think it would take just an unbelievable slide back for them to do anything with Ben. I think they're very much committed to this plan, seeing it through. And honestly, I'd argue there is plenty of progress being made. Not enough. There are certainly frustrations. I'm not immune to that. But I mean, if you look at Jones, Skeens, I think Braxton Ashcraft is a name that you might want to get into. But, you know, are they closer to seeing it through versus blowing it all up and starting over? I think it's probably the first one of those. And that, you know, it would have to be really bad for them to go away from it. Can you ask Nutting and Charrington how many more years until it's go time? The lineup stinks, plain and simple. It's B-Ray and Nicky Barrels and a bunch of guys scared of the stat Babbitt because they must not know. That's an interesting one. Lou 38. I mean, we can. I asked Charrington that. He was asked that a few times about going for it and pushing his chips into the table. And I actually asked that and then tweeted the answer. So you must have missed that. Would love to ask Nutting that question if that time becomes available. I do think this year, this is a question that I get often with the Pirates. Are they going to go for it? Are they going to go for, you know, the pennant or something crazy? Probably not. But do I think that they're going to add versus subtract at the deadline? Yes, I do. I think they recognize that there are some holes in this roster, and I think they'll look to fill that now. Where are they? I think we can probably debate that. First base, I'm not sure. I think it depends on the market. I certainly would not be against it. I'd argue that outfield is probably a bigger need at this point. I think they hope to get more out of Michael A. Taylor. I'm sure I'll talk about Jack Sawinski at some point later in this podcast, but it very much concerns me. I think last night, as I was watching, I looked it up, 3-for-21 since returning with 14 strikeouts. I do not have any reporting out of Colorado quite yet on whether he's there, whether he's down. I can't imagine they ride this out for much longer. But anyway, the question is, do they add at the deadline or quote-unquote go for it? And I do think there's going to be more additions than subtractions. I've said this. Joe Starkey wrote yesterday they should add Vladimir Guerrero Jr. or Pete Alonso. I do not think the ads will be in that vein. But I do think there are areas they can improve this club, and I think Charrington has the latitude to do it, and there's a combined desire. Again, probably fans and the team will disagree on where that falls, but I think there is some level of desire in doing that. Okay, Let's get to some more. That was from my most recent one. Steve Abbott asks, if you are a betting man, I am not, by the way, I don't bet and I don't understand betting. What are the odds the Pirates make a significant move for some offensive help by the trade deadline? Again, just define significant. Like, do I think they'll try to upgrade it? Yes. Do I think they're going to sign Pete Alonso? No. But I think something will happen there. El Fusco at El Fusco 85 asks, what's better, Picklesburg or the annual Rib Fest? I love this one, but it's a no-brainer for me. As much as Picklesburg is all about Pittsburgh pride, I'm taking the Rib Fest every day of the week. We'll always have a soft spot in my heart for ribs. Probably my favorite food. If you've got any good rib recommendations, by the way, please send them my way. My favorite place in the city is Wilson's Barbecue on the north side. I guess it's Perrysville Ave. But yeah, the place in the Mexican War streets burned down and they moved to, I got to look up what area that is. Someone will chime in and tell me, but it's not quite the north side, maybe Perry Hilltop. I should know my geography better. I know it's on Perrysville Ave. So, okay. Doug Andiorio, do you see any players in the last 30 years getting into the Pirates Hall of Fame? I know they weren't great teams, but they had some good players and fan favorites. Jason Kendall, Jack Wilson, Brian Giles, Jason Bay, Freddie Sanchez, etc. Yes, I do. I do. And I mean, this is a Hall of Fame for the Pirates. I think this is an important discussion point with the Hall of Fame. Now, first and foremost, I'd like to see Vernon Law get in. That's something that I've brought up before. But yeah, you need to recognize that part of the team's history. You can't just erase it. You can't just, you know, pretend that because there were 20 losing seasons, it didn't happen. Brian Giles was a darn good player here. Jack Wilson, Jason Kendall, Jason Bay, Freddie Sanchez. Ironically, I look at that list and I mean, that's my childhood list. I'm 40. Those are the teams that I grew up watching and caring about and hooked me on baseball. And all five of those guys I could call up right now and they'd know who I am. And I have some semblance of a relationship with them. That's kind of crazy. But yes, from what I understand with the Pirates, like they are going to honor those guys. They want to space it out probably more than fans want them to space it out. They don't want to run out of names. So yeah, I see those guys being recognized as they should in relatively short order. What else do we got? What happened with Jose Hernandez? How did that situation end like this? Renegade Tyler asks that one. Good question. He had options. You could send him down. I don't know. I can't give you a, that happened because this. If I had that intel, I would report it in a way that's different than this. But it is a weird situation. And the Dodgers picked him up. The Dodgers obviously had him before the Pirates picked him up in the Rule 5 draft. That tells me that, you know, maybe there was some off-field stuff or injury stuff or philosophical difference stuff, something other than just like, we don't think you're that good of a pitcher kind of stuff. If you think a guy has something to work on and you're just going to send him to a place to do it and he has options like that, that's how that goes down. Generally, there's more to it whenever, you know, a guy with options, young, they Rule 5 him, kept him on the roster, has some potential. I like Jose Hernandez as a pitcher and all of a sudden the best move is to just DFA. And that's kind of strange. So, that will probably come trickling out. But as I sit here today, I do not have that. Drew Cagle asks, what do you predict the Steelers run pass splits will be this season? 60-40. I think that's good. It might be a little higher, to be honest with you. And that's one thing I like about the Steelers offense. And Arthur Smith was talking to some people this week at minicamp about Russell Wilson and what I think is left in the tank for Russell Wilson. And I think an important element of this is what Drew is asking. What's the run pass balance? If they're able to run the ball a lot, I think that's going to be very much a desire to do it. Arthur Smith this week talked about needing about 1,100 snaps, and even that Derrick Henry didn't want 550 carries or something. I thought it was interesting that he like broke down the math like that. But if you break down those snaps, you know, 550 of 1,100, I think it could be even higher. You've got two backs, both Jalen Warren and Najee Harris are going to want to have theirs. They could run it a lot. They really could. And I think that's a fantastic thing to do. I think the offensive line is eager for that. And I think that's the way they sort of insulate their quarterbacks, use the tight ends more. And then you free up George Pickens to go over the top and make plays. But yes, 60-40 is probably a starting point for me. Locked On Pirates asks, how long do you think Falter can continue to be a serviceable option for the rotation? Also with Braxton Ashcraft having a strong MILB campaign, how could his potential arrival affect the rotation? Yeah, two very good questions there. I don't see Falter as being Sandy Koufax, but I don't see Falter as being what he was last year, right? Like it's going to be in the middle. And I use Sandy Koufax appropriately because he's been actually compared to Koufax in that the amount of extension that he gets in his type of delivery, I believe, was modeled after Koufax. Anyway, I think you're seeing a little bit of regression with Bailey Falter, but I don't think he's going to turn into what he was last year. I think he has legitimately made strides and learned about himself. I think he's a more than capable number four, number five starter in this rotation. The Ashcraft thing really has my attention. He's been, his AAA debut the other day was outstanding. He was crushing AA before that. You're going to see him up here. He's on the 40-man roster. They need arms. Sooner rather than later, you're going to see him, and he's going to be darn good. So I don't know what becomes of that fifth spot. When Quinn gets healthy, when Martin Perez gets healthy, not quite sure. Probably see Perez here back before too long. But Ashcraft is certainly somebody that factors into the mix. I still like Falter to maintain one of those spots. I don't think he's going to suddenly go away there. Okay. Asked a couple more. What would it take for the Pirates to be buyers? Chance the Pirates make a trade for a big league bat. Bill Whitfield asks brisket or tri-tip. I like that one. How about both? Can we do that? I like the food questions here. Yeah. I mean, that basically encapsulates it, guys. You know, Will Tirani at WAT 111, you know, chances the Pirates make a trade for a big, true big league bat. Drew asks, what would it take for the, yeah. So, I mean, we're getting a lot of the same stuff here. You know, what would it take to trade for a big league bat? You can't keep going with what they have. You know, I really like Jack Sawinski as a kid, as a player. Just has not spent a ton of time in AAA and right now looks to me like somebody who needs to spend more time in AAA. I don't think they know what they have in Henry Davis. They have some good pieces there. Edward Olivares is still kind of a mystery to me. I mean, if you start with Reynolds, Cruz, probably, I mean, Ke'Bryan Hayes has to play. I wish the offense was better. You know, Connor Joe is going to be in there in some shape or form. Nick Gonzalez is going to be there in some shape or form. If you're left with Jasmani Grandal because of defensive reasons, I get it. I mean, that's not a great situation for Henry Davis, but I'm trying to cobble together all of their meaningful bats. Roddy Tellez right now is a bit of a question mark. I mean, you need at least a bat. You need at least a bat. The question is just where do I play it? I might be more comfortable playing that bat in the outfield or somebody that can play out there. I also want to see them get a reliever. You know, as we talk about increasing things, you know, around the deadline, we saw it this past week when you have guys down, what was it, Sunday game, had four guys down and just not deep enough in the bullpen. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I think they need another reliever that, you know, just give yourself a little bit of space. Like Luis Ortiz, great. You know, they're kind of missing what Carmen Majinski was last year. Helps getting Ryan Barucki back. He threw a bullpen in St. Louis. So, the sooner that happens, the better. All right, that does it for me this week. Thank you guys, as always, for watching, for contributing your questions. We'll do that version again next Friday, and we'll talk to you after the Rockies series, same time, same place on Monday. Make sure you like and subscribe. You can get this content and everything else from the Post-Gazette on our North Shore Drive YouTube and podcast channel. Have a good one.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.